Good morning.
Morning, Pastor.
Can we pray, please? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that we are here, and it's you we want to hear from. So prepare our hearts, Lord, that we may hear what you may have to say. Amen. Could I have? Thank you. The last time that Clive led, he said that there was a word on his heart that he'd been thinking about for a while. And he said that that word was metamorphosis. Now, this is a word I hadn't thought about for a while since my science days, and it was about butterflies. And I think that is the analogy that you use. So when he said that word, it sparked something in me, and I really wanted to just go and think about it. And I don't think I was the only one who went away and thought about it, because John Goldring, the next Sunday, came and said he'd been thinking about it as well. And he asked the question to the church. He said, "How hungry are you?" Because that is what you believe that God had been speaking to you about. So today I want to talk about metamorphosis, and it's actually, and the subtitle is Plodding with Perspective, and hopefully as we go along you'll understand why. And Clive, when you said you believed it was a word for the church, and you believed it was about this church, about newness, about transformation. And it's actually two words. It means after form. So metamorphosis is after form. But also, I have another ulterior motive into why I looked into it. It's because actually this word that Clive gave is up on the website. At the end, Clive gave a challenge. Well, I took it as a challenge. He said, "I don't think I'm wrong, but if I am, you can come back and tell me that, Clive, you were wrong." So I took it as a challenge and thought, let me go pray to this so that I can come back and say, "Clive, you were wrong." But unfortunately, that's not how it happened. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." And if anybody could talk about new creation, it was Paul, because in his former life, he was a guy who was persecuting Christians, going for them to kill them. And actually, he was on his way to persecute Christians when Jesus came and appeared to him, and he completely changed and became somebody who was on fire for God. So if anyone can say, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. But interestingly enough, even though he said, when you're in Christ, you're a new creation, in Romans 7, 15 to 19, Paul said this as well. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And he went on further in 20 to 25 to say, "Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So this is a man who has said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And this is a man who's saying, "Oh, but I don't do what I want to do." So what is it? Is he... Are you a new creation, or are you still struggling? Well, actually, Pastor Trevor preached on something called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he said something that stuck with me. He said, sanctification is positional, but it's also progressive. When he said the new has come and the old has gone, he meant he had Christ's righteousness, but it was also progressive because there was something new that was still coming out. That is why he was still struggling. And just 2 weeks ago, I believe, Andrew spoke about he said something like, the answer lies in the soil. And he was talking about the parable of the sower from Mark chapter 4. And in that chapter, Jesus had three parables that were all agriculture, about things growing up. So the first one is that one, the parable of the sower. And the last one was about the mustard seed that starts small and grows up into this big tree. And then the one in the middle is the parable of the growing seed, which I'd like us to concentrate on. And that is from Mark 4, 26 to 29. And it starts, and he said, the he here is Jesus. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So Jesus was saying, I believe here, that somebody scattered a seed and it grew up, but it wasn't immediate. And the thing I find a little frustrating sometimes, I think, is verse 27, when he says he should sleep by night and rise by day. So it's not like you plant a seed and tomorrow you're going to see something grow up. You sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up. So it is not immediate. So the word, when I was meditating on what you had spoken about metamorphosis, the thing that came to me is, yes, we are all to change, but unfortunately sometimes it's not like in a twinkling of an eye, you know, because even though we saw that Paul was immediately transformed when he became when Jesus appeared to him, he still was going through things. So his transformation was not in a twinkling of an eye. But I'd like to go to the analogy of a butterfly. So I wanted to look at butterflies in general, but there's 20,000 species of butterflies, about more than, and it's hard to generalize them all because they're all slightly different. So I just want to concentrate on a swallowtail butterfly, mainly because it's local to East Anglia. It only grows in the Norfolk Broads. And the reason why it's only in the Norfolk Broads is because it's very particular. It has to lay its eggs on the milk parsley, on milk parsley. And unfortunately, milk parsley needs a lot of moisture, but in other parts of the country, while farmland, while they drained the farmland drain marshes to form farmland, the milk parsley died off. And so it can only grow in the Norfolk Broads. So while other butterflies can lay eggs on things like fennel, dill, parsley, whatever, so actually you need to wash your hands, because if you don't, you might actually get butterflies in your stomach if you don't wash your hands properly. But the swallowtail butterfly is very particular. It only lays its egg on the milk parsley. And it's an egg for only 4 to 10 days. Now, the reason why you see that percentage below is, I didn't want to think of it as just 4 to 10 days, because 4 to 10 days doesn't seem like a long time. But if you think of it like a butterfly, it is. So I did some maths. What the 6.5 to 20.4 is, I took the longest time it can be in that stage, divided it by its shortest time span, and got the shortest time it can be, divided it by its longest time span. So the longest it can be in that stage is 6.5% to 20.4% of its lifetime. That's a lot of time that it can be just as an egg. But I also say that the butterfly chooses that particular environment. And in Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And in Ephesians 1:4, we say, it was written, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We are chosen people. We just haven't. God isn't surprised by us. He has chosen us and deliberately planted us in the places that he has planted us. The reason why the butterfly has to lay its eggs on milk parcel is because the caterpillar into which the butterfly will become only feeds on milk parcel. So if the butterfly laid its eggs on dill, the swallowtail butterfly laid its eggs on dill, the caterpillar, when the eggs hatched, the caterpillar would just die. So it is deliberately planted there. The next stage, which is the caterpillar, is actually quite long. It is 3 to 4 weeks, you know. And that is, if we put it in caterpillar terms, that's 33% to 57% of the lifetime of a caterpillar just in that stage. And what happens is all the caterpillar does is eat and grow, eat and grow. It does nothing else but eat and grow. Reminding me of what John said when he said, "How hungry are you?" And actually the caterpillar for the swallowtail, it starts off very small. And what happens is it sheds its skin and then grows into a new thing. So it happens 5 times, it sheds its skin and keeps on growing. Then once it grows too much, it sheds its skin again and keeps on growing. And that reminds me of Mark 2:21-24, where it says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." So this period for the caterpillar is a time of being stretched as it grows into new wineskins. Into a new skin. But also, if you remember, some time back, Andrew talked about old wine into new wine, and there was a declaration that he asked us to make, and he asked us to all stand up. It was given out at the end of the sermon, and he asked us to stand up, and that declaration is actually up on the website. So all these things that I'm talking about, that people have talked about, are up on the website, and actually shout out to the website team and the sound and vision team that record these things, make sure that they're up on the website. So thank you for that. I usually slip them a tenner and they make me more eloquent and intelligent. So I need to say thank you to them. But this declaration that is up there was about saying, "God, I want to leave my old wineskin behind, step into new wineskin, into the new things that you want for me." And that is the period the caterpillar is just feeding and growing, feeding, shedding off the old stuff and growing into the newness. The next stage of a caterpillar is a chrysalis. And that's about 16 to 41% of its lifetime. Now, when you look at it on the outside, it might look like nothing much is happening. But actually what happens is that this caterpillar, once it forms this hard shell outside it, the caterpillar will ingest itself. So the stuff that was actually helping it feed, it will help it digest itself, and it will become some kind of mush. And if you catch this chrysalis at the right time, you can cut it open, and out of it will come this caterpillar soup, you know. And I've already talked to Mary, our catering lead. It will be on the next lunch, won't it? Caterpillar soup. But what's interesting is that even though it's a time when all the cells of the caterpillar, most of the cells of the caterpillar, they become this mush and they become rearranged. But there are some cells, they're called the imaginal discs, they do not dissolve. Now, these are the cells that make up the wings, the eyes, and the antennae. The interesting thing is these cells that made up the eyes, the antennae, and the wings, these cells were there when the caterpillar was an egg. And these cells were there when the butterfly was an egg and when it was a caterpillar. Those cells are still there. The only reason they do not develop is because of something called juvenile hormone. So these things, there's something that the caterpillar secretes called the juvenile hormone. So because it's a juvenile hormone, these cells that have been implanted in it, it never grows up because of that, which I think is interesting. When I learned that, I just have one prayer now. I just have, dear Jesus, help me grow up. Because these wings that we know about are these wings that we know about a butterfly, those wings are there in the egg, those wings are there in a caterpillar. They just don't come out because of this juvenile hormone. And in Romans 12:2, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. As long as we don't let the word of God transform us, the gifts and the wings that he has given us will stay dormant until we grow up into his word. Just like how those wings, they said, if you look at a caterpillar carefully, you will see that those wings are there. They just can't come out. Because, you know, it's secreting this juvenile hormone that is stopping it from growing up. Now, once it grows up into this chrysalis, it reforms completely into this butterfly that we now know. So that, when someone says a butterfly, we think, wow, that is what it is. But remember, it was always there. Those things were always there in the egg. It's just that it had to do some growing up. Pastor Juanita, I remember he preached something, I don't even know if you remember it, some time ago about Deuteronomy 2, when God said to the Israelites, you have walked around this mountain long enough, now move. So sometimes, and you walked around this, I don't know if it was that or that, you kept walking around something to show that you can just keep on walking around and never moving forward. So in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, Paul wrote, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So like I said, those wings, those antennae, those legs, they're always there, but they never grow Here it says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And as you can see, the butterfly doesn't live for too long. And we are the same in that once we are transformed in another area, if we are hooked into God, God will show us another area that needs to go through another transformation so that we can become butterflies in that area. And once we become butterflies in that area, we have to go through the transformation again and again. So this weekend, there's a famous musician playing in Chantry Park. And I read that it's about 160,000 people going to go there. And its entry price of about £82.50. So if you do the maths, that's just slightly above average earnings for 4 days, just slightly. But, you know, I'm sure, I don't know, people had a good time when they went there. But all they've seen is the 90 minutes of that musician singing on stage. They haven't seen the setup of the musician. They haven't seen that musician in the studio writing a chord. No, this chord isn't good enough. Let me do this chord. You know, all the whole other journey. So sometimes we just focus on the butterfly and we just forget that there are all these stages to metamorphosis. It's not like that. Just like, for example, the disciples in Acts, you read, there were tongues of fire that came on them, and they did great things. They were miracles. They were amazing things. But there was the day-to-day of meeting together, looking after the widows, you know, walking long distances to preach the gospel. So what I want to say is what I believe I got out of the word metamorphosis and change. It's not immediate. God is a God of suddenlies, and I'm not trying to limit him. But in most cases, it is slow plodding and exciting stuff. You know, setting your alarm early so that you can read the word because you have a busy day is not the most exciting thing to do. What's exciting is when you can speak into someone's situation because of a word you've read. Sometimes listening to worship and getting into a mood for worship is not exciting. What's exciting is when you're feeling down and, you know, that song rises up in you. So we are called to an adventure in God. And God, we have exciting times, but it's not always goosebumps, is what I'm trying to say. It's sometimes just plodding, turning up when you have to turn up, being there, and just cranking the handle, you know. What's exciting is looking back 5 years from now and realizing, oh, wow, I'm no longer walking around the same mountain. I might be walking around another mountain, but at least it's not that one that I was walking behind. That's what's exciting in the Christian life, moving forward with God. Sometimes it's a marathon and not a sprint. The last thing I want to say is there's this saying, Rome was not built in a day. And they want to say, you know what? Nothing changes overnight. But I read something else to complete it. It says, Rome was not built in a day, but they worked on it every day. Because if you keep on working, if you keep on with the hope, one day you look back and you're like, oh, wow, I've come from a long way. But the interesting thing is actually, if you went to Rome right now, I'm sure you'll find builders. So actually, Rome hasn't been completed yet. This, I think, would be Rome was not built in a day, but they are working on it every day. And until God calls us, so we'll just be going through metamorphosis. Sometimes it's not suddenly. It's just cranking the handle, sitting there, trusting God to help you put one foot in front of the other so that you can plod with perspective. Thank you very much.